What a blessing. Pastor Moore, keep doing a great job. Keep up what you're doing. And the music today, what a blessing. Amen. Give all glory to God, but it thrilled my heart, blessed my heart. And there's a lot of folks I haven't shaken your hand. Dear people that I love and appreciate, and there's a lot of new faces here, and I praise God for that. You know, if we never, we can't always, all of us say that we don't know when we're going to die. We can't always say that. For instance, the person who's going to commit suicide, he knows when he's going to die. By the way, suicide is straight out of hell. Amen. It's not of the Lord, it's of the devil. He wants to take you to hell. The devil does. And maybe someone who is getting ready to get executed, and they're on the table, they know when they're going to die. It's going to be moments, but there's others, they don't. But for sure, everyone can know, 100% sure. You can have absolute assurance, if this is your time, that you can go to heaven. Amen. You can be sure, not 70%, 80%, or 90%. You can be 100% sure. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. This may be the last message I ever preach, and I've always heard preachers say, preach as a dying man to dying men. And when I stand up to preach, God gives the opportunity. I think I should be mindful of, hey, I'm thankful that I'm saved, first of all. Praise the Lord. I've got that assurance through Jesus Christ. He is the answer. But there are also people that are not saved. And then to recognize this may be my last opportunity, and it may be yours. So I thought of the verse in, and this is not my text, but, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks about being a watchman on the wall, and how we need to warn. Let me give you a few verses. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So I'd like to go to my text. I think if it was your children and my children and you were getting ready to draw your last breath, and I don't know, I may have many, many years to go, but you never know. But if it was your children, you'd want to see them again in heaven. Amen. Like the song saying, when we all get to heaven. And you would not want them to go to an awful place called hell. And Jesus paid it all, that we wouldn't go to hell. He took our place. He took your place and my place. He paid for all of our sin. I'm so thankful for that. But Luke 16, if you're able to stand, we're going to talk about hell a little bit. Thank you for having me, Pastor Moore. Tonight, it won't be a long message, but I want to preach tonight on ways to have a merry heart, finding a merry heart from the Scriptures. But in Luke chapter 16, I want to pick it up in verse 19. But remember, This is dealing with stewardship. There's a good steward and there's a bad steward. And, it talks about money. No servant in verse 13 can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There was a certain rich man in verse 1 of chapter 16. He said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So the context dealing with stewardship, hey, you can put all your money. It's not your money, by the way. It's all God's money. Amen. Let me tell you this. It's God's tithe. It's God's tithe and our offerings. And so it belongs to Him. But you've heard that saying, you can't take it with you. I've never seen a Hertz pulling a U-Haul. You've heard that. But there are certain treasures we can take with us, like preaching the gospel. When people get saved, when we do things for the Lord, we can take those treasures to heaven. But as far as your salvation and saving your soul, hey, silver and gold will never save your soul. And we do have a soul. And I hope it's well with your soul. Is it well with your soul? All right, Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, not a parable. This is a true account of God's word. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Will you pray for me and pray for those that are listening today? Father, we are grateful and thankful for another opportunity to stand for you, stand and be a voice, peace. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd be my teleprompter. Oh God, that you would help me to say all those things that I should say, to say what you say, Lord, and hold me back from saying anything that would hinder or hurt. And oh God, if there's one here, one soul that's never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, may today be the day. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks again for the opportunity. Mark 8, 36 and 38. For whatsoever, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Folks, we'll all stand before God one day. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil may have his heyday now, but one day we'll give an account of that stewardship. On January 29th, you've heard it. You've talked about it. Around 8:45 p.m., we were just coming from Wednesday night prayer meeting, turned on the television, and at the Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, American Flight 5342, coming from Wichita, went down in the frigid waters of the Potomac. They collided with this U.S. Army helicopter, three on board, two pilots and a crew member. The American Airlines flight had 60, four crew members, 67. And the television, the commentators or the news people said 67 souls. You see, we have a soul. Amen. Is it well with your soul? So today, I would endeavor, it be my heart's desire. And I think anytime we preach on hell, we need to have tears. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a joking matter. People talk about it. Say, well, hell's on this earth. I'm in hell right now. No, you're not. There's no water in hell. There's no water. There's no way out. So, only the Lord can save you, but He uses us to win souls. I remember the ordination, Pastor Moore back in Florida. A lot of pastors showed up that day. It was at a fellowship meeting combined with it, and there's probably 300 preachers. Man, it was a fearful thing. And they asked me all these questions and interrogate you. But kind of at the end, they asked me, well, what if we decide not to ordain you? We decide not to put our approval on you. I said, that's okay. I'm going anyway because God's called me to go. Amen. And that's what they were looking for. But I don't remember. All those preachers lined up and they had me kneel. Talking about your legs going numb and everything. I mean, I was on that floor on my knees a long time. And they would all come by and say prayers, some long prayers. But I only remember one prayer. It was an older gentleman who had pastored for many years. He laid his hands on my head and he said, win souls, win souls, win souls. And he said, well, we can't win them, but God uses us. And he says in Proverbs 11:30, fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. God does use us as instruments to get his word out. And I hope that's what happens today. As a preacher of the gospel, I'm no longer a pastor. I stepped aside. But you never retire from being a soul winner. You never retire from being a servant of the Lord. And everywhere we go, we encounter people, where it's at the gas pump or the grocery store or the hardware store, or even across the street, or across the world. God uses His people to bring others to Him. So I must make a strong appeal. This may be my last chance. I need to preach as a dying man to dying men, because hell is real. And that's what I want to kind of lay out before you today. There is a reality of hell. Hell is a reality. It's just as sure as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, people are suffering and burning in an awful place called hell. If you stand by the bedside of a dying person, there's a huge difference between a dying saint, a dying saved person, and a person who is lost. There's peace with those who know Christ, and there's no peace with a dying person that has never been saved. And so my question, do you know when your final appointment will be? Most likely not. Another question, are you 100% sure if you died today that you will go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? You need to know that. Why, Pastor? Because, our Brother Hardesty, why? Because the reality is hell is real. But I'm thankful today that so is heaven. Amen. Heaven is real. Looking forward to that day. I have a mom over there and a grandmother over there. In the New Testament, there's a great emphasis put on this. 162 times it mentions hell in the New Testament alone. Out of that 162, 72 times, or 70 times, Jesus was directly speaking. He preached on hell more than heaven. And so this may not be a message I like to preach, but it is a message in the Bible, and Jesus preached, and we all need to hear it. Because this life is so short. It's a vapor. So I must plead and appeal for you today, for every soul in here, to settle that question. And I'm thankful today that you can have peace and you can have assurance and you can have rest in your soul, that if something were to happen, when you lay on your head on your pillow tonight, that you're ready. It's settled. There's no question. There's no doubt. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen. The people there on that American Airlines flight in the helicopter came in. I'm told, I think my son-in-law told me, that the propellers on the helicopter hit the plane and it exploded. They didn't have much time to hear a message or even pray a sinner's prayer. It was that quick. We had a family in this church. They're a sweet family. They were all saved. And my name's Greg, so their young son was Greg as well. So we kind of hit it off. He got a car and he got up on 101 loop. He flipped the car and went out into eternity. Now thank God he knew Christ. And it was settled. He had trusted Jesus and he's in heaven today. Sometimes you don't expect. It's like it's a shock. I remember Pastor Moore, one Saturday I received a phone call. And it was so much weeping on the phone. I couldn't really determine who it was. But it was a young couple's, the wife. And all she said is, "Ralph is gone. Ralph is gone." I had her to repeat it. "Ralph is gone." They served in the Air Force. He did. Ralph did, over at Luke Air Force Base. And I went straight over there. But the way the Lord took him was amazing. He was sitting at his desk in his 30s, just working on some paperwork. He said, "I'm tired of studying or working right now at the desk, so I'm going to get up and go play some basketball." So he got up from his desk, went out to play some basketball on the Luke Air Force Base courts there, the outside courts, and he dropped dead with a massive heart attack in his 30s. So I'm visiting the hospital. First of all, I go out there to the Luke Hospital, and there he is on the table. It wasn't a pretty sight. And then visited his wife and two young children, blonde-headed girls. and they had the prettiest blue eyes. And what do you say in a situation like that? What came to me? I'm glad we'll see your daddy again in heaven. Because your daddy trusted Jesus. And if you trust Jesus, you'll be able to meet him again. So we all have an appointment. You can have this peace. Really, two points I'd like to bring out here in Luke 16. And the first one, about hell, it is a place of torment. Torment. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in what, church? Torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Four times it mentions it here. Let's read verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? In this flame. Verse 25, and Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art? And verse 28, and I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of? That's number four. What is torment? It's extreme pain and anguish. Have you ever had a kidney stone? Have you ever had a dry socket that's throbbing? Okay. This is extreme pain, anguish. It's not just a little headache. You can take a Tylenol for. It's straining and you're rolling around. It's the utmost misery. Not only in body, physically, but in your mind and your soul. You're grievously tormented. What does the Bible say about hell? It says it's a place of fire. If you've ever seen anybody that caught a fire, somebody that was severely burned, it's excruciating pain. And I don't think I need to describe that anymore. It's just horrible. Hold your place here and go to Revelation chapter 20. There's a great white throne judgment. It's where all the lost will go, all those who have rejected Jesus Christ, those who said no to Him. They had an opportunity, but they said, no, I'll wait a little while. I don't need that. I go to church, or I do the rosary, or, you know, I've been a pretty good person, right? I'm even a Baptist. I go to the Baptist church every now and then. Folks, church will not get you to heaven. You can be a good Baptist or a good Catholic and go straight to hell. And you'll stand before God one day, and in Revelation 20, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. It's interesting that when Jesus came to be born, he couldn't find a place. There was no room in the inn. And there's a lot of folks that they just won't allow Jesus in their heart. And so they will receive that punishment because they had no place for the Lord. There was no place found, no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You see, folks, if you're depending on your works instead of Jesus Christ and His blood and His sacrifice, one day you'll be judged by those same works. No one will point their finger at God and say, I didn't have an opportunity to be saved. No, God is, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you'll be judged by those works, whatever they are. Remember Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The truth is, Are you depending on your works? If you are, then you'll be judged out of that book according to your works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the Bible. That's the truth. And you know, some people need to stand up and tell you the truth. The one who loves you the most tells you the most truth. And I'm thankful that when I was 10 years old, a preacher told me the truth, that I didn't have to go to hell. I don't have to pay for my sins. Jesus already paid for it in full on the cross of Calvary when He suffered, bled, and died. Some would say, well, we suffer down here. What's the difference? I know of a good Christian that suffers. They came down with cancer. They came down with this horrible disease, and they are just in so much pain. How could a God of love allow a person to go through that? Well, He is a God of love, but we are sinful souls, and we fail. Mankind fell back in the Garden of Eden. But the difference between a Christian suffering and a person who rejects Christ is suffering, the difference is we are not home yet. We're not in heaven yet. And when we do suffer, it's always for our good. But praise God, it's always for God's glory. Amen. There is a heaven. And we can look forward to having that home one day. If we know Christ, verse 1 in chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. See, heaven is an actual place, an actual word in the Bible. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Watch this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more what? Funeral homes are out of business. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. It is true. It's a faithful saying that there is a reality of hell. But thank God for the person who knows Jesus can go to heaven. You don't have to put up with that extreme pain and anguish and crying. But in hell, it's the opposite of heaven. There are people in hell right now agonizing and crying out. All right. One more place in Luke 16, not only is there torment, but this is probably the worst of all in hell. There's separation. In verse 23, in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, in hell He lift up His eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in His bosom. So this rich man that died, he's seeing this beggar in heaven. And in verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. If there's one thing worse than any other thing in hell, it's seeing your loved ones in heaven and you're in hell and you can't get out. Maybe it's your fiance, your mom or your dad. Could be your grandmother or grandfather, your grandkids, your brothers or sisters, your sons or daughters, or husband or wife. cousins or aunts or uncles, your sons-in-laws or your daughter-in-laws in hell, and there's a great gulf fixed. They're in hell and you're in heaven, or the opposite. Forever. Forever. Hear me. I'm warning you, like in Ezekiel. Forever they are lost and doomed, and they cannot get out. They're cast out, separated from God. Tragic thing is, people hear messages, they hear it on the radio, they have a printed track or material, but yet they stiffen their heart and stiffen their neck and say no. They harden their heart. Like Pharaoh, he hardened his heart. He hardened his heart. And it got easier, and he hardened his heart. And finally, God hardened his heart. There was no more opportunity, no more chance. I think it's for a person to crash through the prayers, all the prayers, all the care of loved ones. They don't want you to go to hell. They crash through, or they go through the warning lights of preaching. Your pastor gets up and preaches a message on the cross or Jesus or heaven, and they walk out and they just make that to none effect. They crash through it. But yet the Lord is merciful and He's patient, and He gives you another opportunity. He's pleading with you to get saved. Yet you would not heed the warning. For someone disregarding that old rugged cross, what happened on that cross, how Jesus took the nails, they pounded the nails through His hands and His feet deep into the wood. Hey, before that, He took our whipping. He was at the whipping post, and they stripped Him and took a cat of nine tails and they ripped His back. They say sometimes the victim, his insides, his would just fall out. Many people at the whipping post died right there. They lost so much blood. And can I say, Jesus Christ went through that. He was nailed to that old rugged cross. They stood Him up. And then all those lacerated places where they beat Him with that cat of nine tails was rubbing up against that wood. They platted a crown of thorns upon His head for you and for me and the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Me should not perish but have everlasting life. They mocked Him. They ridiculed Him. They spat upon Him. They ran a spear in His side. Jesus was in total control, and no one took His life. He laid it down for mankind. He took all of that. And for you to hear the gospel message, which not only includes the death of Christ and how He died, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15 that He died for our sins, as the Scripture said, and was buried. He literally went to the tomb. He was not just unconscious. He died that day for you and for me. I think of the verse in Romans. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Not only did He die for our sins, and it was enough, by the way, He died only once. The next time He comes, He won't have to die. Amen. But He arose 72 hours later. He walked out of that tomb, and He's alive now forevermore. That's the gospel. And for people to hear the gospel and say, no, I do my rosary, or I go to church, or I try to be a good person, that stands in the face. That disregards the death of Christ. The death of Christ, the burial, the resurrection. What is hell like? Well, it's punishment. and banishment. By the way, hear me, it's not intended for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. So Jesus, God Almighty, who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's the Christ, the living Christ. He's the one that died on the cross for you, and He loves you so much, and He wants for you to be saved. That's a good Bible word, saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin and separation from God. He wants to save you from hell. You don't have to go there. He's throwing out the lifeline. It's not intended for you. It's a place for the lost, for the unsaved. The Bible says it's a place where the worm dieth not. You can never die. You can never get out. It's a place of utter darkness. Listen, it's a place of thirst. See, this is not hell here. Well, you don't know what I've been through. I don't know what you have gone through, but I know Jesus can help you with whatever you're going through if you trust Him as your Savior. But we have water. I've had 2 water bottles already this morning and my mighty green juice. Amen. So I have water to drink. You have water to drink. But when you go to hell, there's no water. This rich man cried out and he said, Lord, if I could just get Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You talk to Navy SEALs, people who have been shot down behind enemy lines, and they say one of the worst tortures, the worst torments is not having water for days. It's just that thirst. Jesus cried out, I thirst. Why? Because He took that punishment. He took that in His own body. He bore His body, our sins on the tree. He took all of that because He loves us. Oh, think of this. In hell, what's hell like? There's no hope. There's no hope in hell. Now there's hope. My dad, when he lost his leg many years ago, he's in Oklahoma City coming out here to a missions conference. And I flew out there as quick as I could. My mom was in, she was shaking, she was old. And after talking to the main surgeon there at that hospital, the main surgeon said, I don't think your dad will make it. And I went into that little room by my mom and I said, Mom, this is what's happening. He had an aneurysm in his leg. They're going to have to take his leg off. And there's a good chance he won't make it. And she looked right at me and spoke up. She bowed up and she said, Son, don't take my hope away. But in hell, you'll have no hope. No more opportunity. There'll be no love, no mercy, no grace. There'll be no escape. There'll be wailing, gnashing of teeth, a place of unanswered prayer. How many of you had prayers answered recently? I have. But down in hell, I don't see Jesus answering the prayers of this rich man. If you won't hear the preacher now, the prophets now, you've got the Word of God now. If you won't hear, they won't hear, even though one rose from the dead. Okay? Everlasting fire. See, why are you preaching this? Because I must warn you. If it was your child, wouldn't you want them to be in heaven with you? Would you warn them? What's not in hell? There's no God, no Father, Son, or Holy Ghost coexistent, co-equal. There's no comfort because the Holy Spirit won't be in hell. There's no Bible in hell. I'm telling you the truth. There's no born-again Christians. We enjoyed the songs, the hymns today. What a blessing. No hymn singing down there. No hymn books. No fellowship. There's no light. No painkillers. No alcohol. No booze. No dope. No weed. no freedom. I was recently in the hospital this past Wednesday, and I got out of there. I was so thankful to get out of there. I do not like hospitals. And I turned into little Martin Luther King. I said, free at last. Thank God Almighty I'm free at last. But if you go to hell, friend, in all seriousness, if you go to hell, there's no getting out. Wailing, gnashing of teeth. What's not in hell? No kindness, no comfort, no entertainment, no pleasure, no books, no sports, no money. People raise up and they say, I'm pro-choice. People are so mean and vitriol talking. Just watch the news. It's discouraging. But they say, it's my body. It's my choice. It's my freedom. In hell, you won't have any choice. It's God's plan. What do people do? Young people, look up in here. Look up in here. No cell phones in hell. Yeah. Glad you're saved, Brother Jim. Glad you're saved. No mercy and grace. No more excuses. Think of this. No gospel. And as Pastor was saying earlier, there's no peace. Thank God for the peace we have in Jesus Christ. But the thing is, no one can go to heaven unless you've been saved. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. There's one way to heaven, only one, it's Jesus. There's not 50 other ways or 100 other ways. Look to Him and be saved. No one can go to heaven unless you're saved. You must know that you're a sinner. If you're honest with God today, you have to know deep down in your heart and in your conscience that you have failed. You have slipped. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've thought bad things. We've disobeyed. We've hurt people. And we've missed the mark. We need a Savior today. People are needy, and we need a Savior. There is a Savior today. Thank God there is a way that you can find relief. You must know that you are a sinner. I know what you're saying. Yeah, I've messed up a few times. Haven't we all? That's what the Bible says. But you must know that you must receive Christ. You must receive Christ as a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And a gift is free, no compensation, strings attached. You have to just receive a gift by faith. And you can do that today. If the Holy Spirit's pricking at your heart, why not today? You can have it settled. You can know. For sure, I'll take you over here to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm getting ready to quit here. 1 John 5. And I want you to look in verse 11. 1 John 5. It's all the way toward the back of the book, to the right. Almost before you get to Revelation. 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but the first. 1 John chapter 5. Please look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the life, Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? That you may know that ye have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And I'll tell you, it is His will for you to be saved. It is His will for you to go to heaven. He doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. And if you call on Him today, He will save you. Verse 15, and if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin, and it goes on, talks about, there is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. So you can know for sure, if you died, you go to heaven 100%. Know this, that forgiveness only comes through the blood of Jesus. There's, like we sang, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You must believe on Him. I'll say that again. You must believe on Him. Not with a mental assent. People say they believe in Jesus from their head, but they really have not trusted or relied upon or depended on only Jesus to save them. Yes, built into that word belief, I believe, is repentance. There's nothing wrong. The Bible teaches that we must turn from our sin. But what is wrong with saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me? What is wrong with that? We need to ask forgiveness from the Lord. And I'm not talking about just praying every night. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, Lord, we need forgiveness through the blood of Jesus that we can be saved and born again from above. Have you repented and believed on Jesus? Totally depended on Him? Trust fully in Him. So many people are trusting in money to save them. Perhaps that rich man right there in Luke 16. Fame or reputation or works. Are you trusting in church attendance or mass or baptism or communion or tradition or superstition or rituals or ceremonies or religion? Religion has sent more people to hell than anything. Humanitarianism or being unselfish, and those things are good, but they can't save your soul. You can be well-meaning and a loving neighbor or a hard worker. That won't save your soul. I'm thankful for Romans 5:8. For God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful that we can have a home in heaven. We can know it. I like that verse in John chapter 14, that passage. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And He goes on down in verse 6 and said, Jesus says, I am what? The way. Jesus said that. And the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. I'm thankful for John 3:16. I'm thankful for Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm thankful for Romans 10:9-10. But if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our what? Our heart, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart righteousness. We become righteous, right with God, through Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for these verses in the Bible. I'll leave you with this. In Peter, the Bible says this, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I know He can save you today if you trust in His blood. David, I never will forget you coming and saying, "There's something missing in my heart. There's a hole in my heart." You can have that filled with Jesus Christ. You can have a relationship with Jesus. You don't have to go to hell. You can settle that question today. I'm thankful for 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You can do that today. It's a hard message for me to preach because my grandmother was saved, but my granddad, we called him Paul. He was an Adams. His name was Irvin Adams. He kind of looked like me. Ugly. I mean, he was tall and kind of slender and tall, but I loved Paul. He would take me places, and he was such a hard worker. He was a bulldozer driver in Kentucky, and then when the family moved to Florida, they, Granny and him moved. They lived in a little house, about a 900 square foot house, and he would take me to do side jobs with him, and he didn't talk a lot, but he was a hard working man, a good man, a loving granddad. He had an old Ford. Some of you men know these old Ford 100 trucks. I mean, old trucks. And a Chevrolet Impala that was so ugly. That was an ugly car. But, you know, he would take to work. Granny always fixed him his little Vienna sausages. He liked that in a can. And she'd give him a candy bar. And he didn't have much teeth. But, you know, he was a good man. What I'm trying to say, he was a good man. But now hear me sincerely. He was lost. And I was in Korea in the Army. And I remember being picked up at the Orlando airport. They put me in the car and said, "Come on, we got to go see Paul right now." And we go to the intensive care. True story. He was in a tent, one of these tents. He was a smoker all of his life. He smoked these Camel cigarettes. And he was gasping for breath. They say that he just held on to see me. That's what they said. I got to see him. But I let my chance go by. And to this day, if I had to be truthful with all of you, I believe he's in hell today. It's a reality. And I'd do anything. I'd pay any amount of money. I'd give all that I had to go down there and just give him one drop of water. It's too late. Souls are dying. Souls are going to hell. They'll reap in hell the wages of their sin. Oh, Christian, for us Christians that know Christ, don't you care? Oh, can't you see them there? Lose your wicked pride and pray and cry and never let a chance go by. I was working on this yesterday afternoon, and the Lord just pricked my heart and said, "Hey, there's your neighbor Dylan. You've talked to him. You've got a friendship with him. His car's there. He hadn't gone to work yet. What are you going to do?" So I get in go out the door and go talk to him, get some tracts. And I said, Dylan, I care about you enough to tell you the truth. Have you ever trusted Jesus? Have you ever realized you're a sinner? Have you, Dylan, ever thought about or read the Bible where it says all that Jesus went through on the cross? I can't even explain, the crucifixion was the most terrible way to die. Have you ever thought what he did for you, Dylan? He loves you. I said, would you like to trust Jesus? He said, well, I go to church. I pray the rosary. You could tell the Lord was dealing with him. The Lord was in that. I left the door open. He didn't get saved. Maybe he did that afternoon. I don't know. Yesterday. But today, folks, you have an opportunity right here in just a moment to get that settled. And you can get your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to go to hell, this awful place that you can never get out of.